Indeed, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What about you? I said to you today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. On this note, with Jesus' joy in my heart, I welcome everyone to this national joint service held online. From wherever you are watching or linking up with us, anywhere in Nigeria, I bring greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray that the Lord will bless you this morning at home, in your cell group, in your church, in your car, at work, or wherever you may be, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to specifically and specially thank God for our fathers. Today is the Father's Day. Are you a father or grandfather? Or father in waiting, father to be? Thank God for your life. Thank God for your leadership. I pray that every wisdom you need to be a father, every resources you need to be a father, God will multiply unto you. So happy Father's Day. If you are in your home, wherever you are, help me greet the man near you without shaking hands. Observe social distancing, but say to every man near you, Happy Father's Day. Let's bless our offering. Like we've been told, our offering should be sent to our local churches as we do normally. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be alive and to come before you with our gifts and offerings this morning. We ask, Eternal Father, that these gifts and offerings and tithes will be acceptable in your sight. We pray you will bless every giver and help us as a church to use this money wisely for the furtherance of the gospel, for the expansion of your kingdom here on earth. Thank you, Eternal Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Over the weekend, we had a national pastors and spouses retreat, and some people sent in words and messages about their call to ministry. If you have a call to ministry, please discuss with your pastor or conference pastor. And better still, please send a message to me at the national office on this number. Send a message to me at the national office on this number, 0806-777-1047. I'll go over that number again, telephone number, 0806-777-1047. So this morning, let's go into God's word. Lord, we ask that you please bless us through the ministry of your word this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 11, and we'll read 3 verses. Daniel, chapter 11, we'll read verses 30, 31, and 32. Daniel, chapter 11, verses 30, 31, and 32. I will start verse 30 from the B part, part B. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So this morning, we'll be concluding, and our theme for this weekend has been the church in contemporary times. The church in contemporary times. But this morning we'll be adding this rider doing great exploits. That is the church in contemporary times doing great exploits. I would like to give you a background to this story in the book of Daniel. Daniel was prophesying about the North Kingdom, the South Kingdom. And when you hear the North Kingdom, the South Kingdom, in the Bible after Rehoboam, the North relates to the rest of Israel, the 10 tribes who are on the northern part. And the South Kingdom relates to Judah, just one kingdom with Benjamin aligning to it. So here, Daniel's prophecy was about two sets of people and the enemy. There's the enemy on one part and two sets of people. He said the first set of people he described as, I like to describe them as violators of the covenant. Verse 32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, it shall corrupt with flattery. Before then, he has said that such people, violators of the covenant, will come into the sanctuary, would defile the sanctuary, they would take away the daily sacrifice and offerings and replace it with abomination of desolation. These are people who are violators of God's covenant. This is the first people. He said the enemy will come to those people to encourage them. You are doing a nice thing. Continue to defile the temple. Because by so doing, he wants to corrupt them. He wants to defile them. He wants to pervert them. So the first set of people in this story are the violators of God's covenant. The second category of people in this scripture are the people who know their God. He said such people will not fall for the flattery or seduction of the devil. They shall be strong. Another translation says they will display strength. Another translation says they will firmly resist the enemy. Those who and they will carry out great exploits. New King James says great exploits. Other translations talk about exploits. But today we have chosen to say those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do great exploits. The Message translation says those who stay courageously loyal to their God will take a strong stand. So I would like to ask today, which category do you belong? Are you one of the violators of God's covenant? You don't know God's law. You don't want God's law. You don't love God. You do anything at your will, whether it pleases God or not, whether it violates God's covenant or not. These are the first set of people. The second are the people of God. They know their God. Why am I saying this? Because in contemporary times, in times like this, there will be a sharp demarcation between the two categories. There will be a sharp demarcation between those who violate God's covenant and the people who know their God. The church in contemporary times, the church is not a building. There are people who have been called out of the world. There are people who are born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So those are the people who in contemporary times shall carry out great exploits. Why am I saying this? In contemporary times, I'm sure this is a very, very interesting time to be alive. Everyone who lived and died in the last 100 years have never witnessed what we are witnessing. A global epidemic that was therefore described as pandemic. Because in less than 6 months, starting from Wuhan in China late last year, in less than 6 months, it has reached 213 countries. 8.9 million, almost 9 million people have tested positive to COVID-19, coronavirus. As at yesterday, 466,000 people have died all over the world. In other words, almost 500,000. Never experienced, at least in the last 100 years. So these are contemporary but difficult times in which you as a church, I'm not talking of the building or denomination, you as somebody who is born again, a child of God, have been called to live. But that this scripture is saying, those of us who belong to the church, who are called by the name of the Lord, who are the people who know their God, we shall remain strong and do great exploits despite COVID-19. Because in the last 6 months, the pandemic of COVID-19 has affected virtually every facet of life. Is it academic life? There has been academic standstill. Classes stopped, except a few cases of online courses. Examinations postponed. Admission put on hold. Graduation postponed indefinitely. You have foreign admission, no visa to travel abroad. If you have visa, no aeroplane to travel abroad. You have graduated, you can't proceed on NYC. Academic stand still. For over 3 months, everything has stood still. Even in your career, for those of us pursuing careers, those who had jobs, who are fortunate to have jobs up till February, many have been laid off. Many are receiving part salaries. Everybody could not go to work for some weeks. There's a new term called WFH, working from home. In the United States of America, in 3 months, 30 million people have filed for unemployment benefits. In Nigeria, we don't have the records. But you can imagine how many people have lost their jobs. Those seeking jobs, some have no job interview, they cannot resume. Some have been employed, they don't know when work will start. Career on hold. What about those of us in business? There's been a business downturn. Suddenly, contracts that you are given, that you are projected that this year, God has blessed you, you'll be fruitful and multiply. Contracts stalled. You cannot go ahead to implement or execute the contract. Some LPOs have been canceled. Some contracts have been voided. This brings to me what I learned many, many years ago while in school, in business law. It is called force majeure, act of God. In contract, you enter into a contract. If you do this, I'll pay this. If you don't do it, I will sue you. But there's an exemption of liability clause, which is called force majeure, is Latin, which means act of God. When an act of God happens, it is beyond anybody's control. So you can't sue anybody. Many airlines, leased aircrafts, will be paying this amount of thousands or millions of dollars every month, but suddenly no flight for 3 months. So the owners of the aircraft that leased the aircraft to Emirates, to British Airways, they cannot sue because there is what is called force majeure. Even law recognizes act of God. Something that comes that is beyond human expectation. It is beyond human control. None of us could have controlled what happened in the last 3 months. It's been an interesting half of the year. This first half of the year will be ending in about 10 days, but it's been very, very interesting. Like a period never seen before. What about in your personal life, in my personal life? The word that came to me is life in abeyance. Life just hanging because of uncertainty. Many people planned wedding, they could not go ahead. Cards had been printed. Cards have been printed for wedding, dates fixed, hall hired. Some, the notice was filed in court, but they could not go ahead. Who is to blame? Aged parents, loved ones died. You can't bury. And if there is burial, you can only watch by Zoom. Some people have planned, by this time I will be in this country. I'm migrating. I'm going on overseas course. Everything stalled. Life in abeyance. What about personal life? Personal relationships? You have a loved one, you can't visit. Child cannot visit parent, cannot visit child. Why? Because we are told to social distance. One of the most popular words now is social distancing. Then you see your loved one, after a long time, you cannot hug. You can't embrace. You can't shake. At best, you can shake with your legs if it is long enough for the two meters social distance. Life in abeyance. What about church? Church closure. Suddenly, for 3 months, pastors did not see their sheep. Brethren did not see one another. Ministries and missions suspended. Special programs, conventions stalled. But in all of this, something has been brought out, especially concerning the church. That the church is not the building. The church is not the denomination. The church is the people. And so although church buildings had been closed for 3 months, nobody can close Jesus' church. You are the church. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. What it means literally is called out. Those who have been called out from the world to the Lord, who have accepted Jesus as Savior and as Lord. They are the church universal. They can meet in buildings. They can meet in homes. They can meet anywhere. And so although church buildings have been closed in the last 3 months, the church has been triumphing. The church has been meeting. And for I'm speaking to you, my dear leaders and members of New Covenant Church, you will see that for many years, our general overseer, Reverend Paul Jinadu, has been talking to us about cell. Some have embraced it. Some are doing Sidon look. Some have embraced it with the words of their mouth, not with their hearts, not with action. But all of us have seen in the last 3 months that God spoke to our general overseer. The church, the early church, did not just meet centrally in public places. The Bible said they met from house to house in little cells. New Covenant Church is built, we are endeavoring to build according to the pattern of the Bible. And so if you are going to be part of the New Covenant Church, you need to follow the Bible. Not the thoughts of man. Not what is done everywhere. And so your church not only should meet centrally, cells, but meeting in houses, meeting in markets, meeting in shops, meeting in offices, meeting everywhere. For some of our centers, they've been enjoying the last 3 months. Cells have been meeting, sending reports, sending offerings to the central church. Whereas some have been panicked because they have no contact. They don't know how to reach their members. Pastor, ensure you embrace the cell system. That is the church of Jesus Christ. Not the church that we practice all over the world today. So we see the church meeting in our houses. Many of you today are watching from your house. Like Paul wrote to Aquila and Priscilla. He said, greet the church in your house. So I said to you, please help me greet the church in your house. The church is meeting. The church is marching on the gates of hell. Cannot prevail against it. So we have talked about contemporary times, especially what has happened because of COVID-19. So what do I do? What will be my response to these contemporary times and the pandemic that has been ravaging the world? We want to thank the Lord in particular for Nigeria. It was estimated that they will be carrying corpses on the streets of Nigeria. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Just less than 500 have died in a population of over 200 million. Only God could have done that. Can you say thank you, Jesus? And we speak to coronavirus. We command you that the east wind of God will blow you away from Nigeria. From the continents of the world, we speak to you, coronavirus. Let the east wind of you blow you into the sea of forgetfulness in the name of Jesus. That we may return to evangelism. That we may return to soul winning. That we may return to missions in the name of Jesus. So in these times, church in contemporary times, doing great exploits. You have a choice. What do I do? What should be your response to times like this? You can complain. Become the chief complaints commissioner for Lagos or your Ondo, Osun, and Ogun states. You can be angry. Fight with everyone. Some people now, parents fighting with husband fighting with wife, wife fighting with husband, parents fighting with children, children fighting with husband. Why? They are transferring their aggression. They have been overwhelmed by the pressure of pandemic, and so they are getting angry with their loved ones. They cannot, they have become touch not. People cannot move near them because they are angry because of the pandemic. You have a choice to complain, to be angry, or to recoil to your shell, or to give up. Some have given up in depression. In Europe, somebody living in a high-rise building, high-rise apartment, just was tired of life, jumped from high-rise down to kill himself. In the United States of America, many have shot themselves because of depression, because of what has been happening in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months. In Nigeria, the response of the devil has been to instigate people to rape, to murder, and to robbery. So, you could do this, but you could also respond positively. How you respond would depend on which category you belong to. Are you a violator of God's covenant? Or are you part of the people who know their God? Don't forget, starting with that scripture, we traced it that it talked about the devil and what he tries to do. To those who violate God's kingdom, he encourages them to defy the temple, to disobey God. But to those who know their God, the Bible says they remain strong and stand firmly against the enemy, refusing his suggestion. The choice is yours, and it depends largely on who you are. Are you part of the people who know their God? I'm not asking, are you part of the people who go to church? I'm saying, are you part of the people who know God? Have you met my Savior Jesus? Have you acknowledged the fact that you are a sinner who could not pay for your sin? And that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for you? Have you confessed your sin? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you? Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus? Are you washed, my brother, in the blood, in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You don't become part of the people of God by bearing Christian names, or by going to church, or by being a worker in church, or even preaching like I'm doing. You must be washed in the blood. You must have confessed Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. When you now become a people of God, you must relate with Him by knowing Him, spending time with Him to hear from Him. And what you hear, you do. Do not be a violator of God's covenant. Be somebody who hears God in times like this and does what God says. This is what can give us strength. Don't forget that scripture says, but the people who know their God shall be strong. You derive strength when you know God, when you relate with God, when you are in God's presence. That song that introduced this message talked about the joy of the Lord. It is when you have the joy of the Lord inside of you that you can be strong. It doesn't matter what's happening all around you. It doesn't matter what money you have in your pocket or in your bank account. It doesn't matter whether you have a job or not. It doesn't matter whether this future is uncertain. Brother, you may not know the future. You may not know what the future holds, but you know Him who has the future in His hand. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace. Didn't say they are thoughts of good. Thoughts of peace. Sometimes they don't appear good, but you have peace.
thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. If you are part of the people who know their God, you will be strong. What that means is that you'll be able to resist temptation to violate God's covenant. You'll be able to stand firm against discouragement and depression. You'll be able to leap over a wall. COVID-19 has put a wall. No go. You can't progress. No advancement. But Bible tells me that you can leap over a wall. It says you can run through the troop. Opposition, antagonism, you can run through it. For people who know their God, they do great exploits. I want us to consider examples of people who do great exploits in the Bible. Concerning economy and finance. My Bible tells me of Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham. There was famine in the land. People were perplexed. Nothing to it. Many people were migrating, were going on exile because there was difficulty like we are facing now. But God told him, do not leave. He heard God. Don't forget, those who know their God must hear God. You should not lean to your own understanding. As the economy goes back to normal, a new normal, do not do your business the way you have been doing it. Do not spend money the way you have been spending it. Hear God. Those who know their God know what God is saying. So Isaac heard God. Do not migrate. Stay in the land. And my Bible tells me, I'll read Genesis 26 verse 12 and 13. Genesis 26 verses 12 and 13. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. In a time of famine, in a challenging time, he heard God what to do. Because he knew God, he had a personal relationship with God, so he took decisions that God told him to take. He was strong. While everybody was complaining, he was busy doing great exploits. Prospering, he began to prosper. He continued to prosper until he became institutionalized, as the Bible said, and he became very prosperous. Do not forget that God is the one that teaches you to profit and leads you the way to go. You can't go back to your work and start to do it the way you've been doing it. If you know your God, you must follow him. Receive instruction and direction from the headquarters. Let me look at another example, safety. I've talked about your economy and finance. We hear about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fire, and they were unscathed. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, the king said, these people on whose bodies fire had no power. I assure you, my brother and my sister, COVID-19 will have no power over you. Some people were thrown into the fire. The Bible records the fire had no power over them. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, even if you pass through the fire, it shall not burn you, neither shall its flame kindle upon you. Even if you are a frontline worker, you are a medical doctor, you are a nurse, you are a pharmacist, you are a ward aide, you are working with those who are positive, the Lord will shield you. He did it before in Egypt. In Goshen, while plagues were ravaging the area, those in Goshen were safe. The Bible said in Exodus 11:7, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God wants to distinguish you. Coronavirus is not your portion. COVID-19 or any plague for that matter will have no power in your home, over your body, over anyone that belongs to you in the name of Jesus. You are safe. We see another example of Philip in ministry. There was problem. So he ran away from Jerusalem, found in Samaria, but started preaching because that's the only thing he knew to do. Wherever he found himself was preaching. The Bible said people took heed to what he said, seeing the signs and miracles which he did. Eventually, he was the one who led the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And it is recorded in Bible history, not in the Bible, in history, that the Ethiopian eunuch was the one who brought the gospel to Africa. Somebody who was running away for his life because of problem, but was busy. So the fact that there is COVID-19 doesn't mean you can't continue to preach. Doesn't mean you can't continue to minister to and witness to people all around you. Not only was Philip successful in ministry, he was successful in marriage. He was successful in family life. How do I know? You know, after he led the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, the Bible said he received supernatural transportation. He found himself in Azotus. Eventually, he settled down in Caesarea. So that much, much later, when Paul was in Caesarea, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21, Philip had settled down. He was married. He had four girls who were of age, and they were recorded as virgins who were prophets. Not only did he succeed in ministry, he succeeded in raising a generation that would take the gospel beyond him. Daughters who were virgins. They know the Lord, they love the Lord, and they were prophets. Oh, my dear brother, my dear sister, success in ministry doesn't mean you should be a failure in marriage. Doesn't mean you should be a failure in your family. Philip, in pandemic times, in bad, terrible times, was successful in ministry, was successful in marriage and in family life. I've talked about great exploits in academics, great exploits in economy, great exploits in terms of protection and safety, great exploits in ministry, great exploits in family life. The greatest exploit is the exploit during rapture. All that is happening is telling us that rapture can take place any day. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17, then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we shall always be with the Lord. That would be a great exploit. That people will just watch you disobey the law of gravity to meet Jesus. No wonder that song, "To God Be the Glory," in the third verse. To God be the glory in the third verse. It says, great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. It will be a great exploit. We'll have a wonderful transportation. A wonderful, and people who will be left behind will be watching. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yield that his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the heart hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh God, to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and live in the glory. Verse 3, the third verse. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, both pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. temporary times, may you continue to do great exploits for the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.